where Jesus tells us that if we will lift him high, that he will draw men to himself. And Father, that's our prayer this morning, that we, in all that we do, Lord, through our songs, through our giving that we had, Lord, through this message, Father, I pray that all that is done to lift up Jesus, that we can see him above any of us, above anything that's going on. And Lord, I pray this morning that as we get into your word, Father, that's the one thing. If we leave with nothing else, let us leave knowing that Jesus is risen, he's alive, he's high, he's mighty, he's above all things, Father, that he's stronger than anything that can grab onto us. And Lord, I pray that as we leave with that truth in our lives, God, that we'll leave in the power and the strength and the boldness that gives us. Lord, we just ask you to speak to us this morning in your word. Lord, I pray that as we dig into it, God, that you will encourage us, Lord, but also challenge us and give us, Lord, exactly what we need to hear individually, Father, speaking to our lives, so we can leave this place, Lord, just your church, a called out assembly of people that you have brought together for one purpose and one mission, and just use us, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There are some songs that you just love to get up and preach after, and that's one of them. And I just want to take a second before we start and just say thank you to our worship team. We are privileged to have them each Sunday morning, and they're very talented, and they're very good at what they do, but more than that, they love Jesus, and they love worshiping him and leading y'all as you do that as well. And I'm just very grateful for them and Daniel as he leads them, and I just want to give them a little this morning. And that's not why they do it, but I'm very grateful for them that they are here worshiping. And be turning your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Or sorry, Matthew 28. We're going to start in 28. Matthew chapter 28 is we're going to start. And as you do that, I just want to make a couple announcements. We had a couple of people pass away this last week. To be praying for the Arndt family. Nancy Arndt passed away on Sunday. Yesterday. It was yesterday. Pray for the Arndt family, Greg's mom, and also just that whole family, because Rhonda's mom passed away 2 or 3 weeks ago, so they've lost 2 grandmothers and 2 moms in the last month, and it's pretty hard on them. And also, Shirley Wilson is a longtime member here. She hadn't been here in a while, but her husband Don passed away last week as well. So just praying for those two families, the Wilson family and the Arndt family, and just lift them up and encourage them if you get to see them, and think back on the memories we have with them. So Matthew chapter 28, we're going to start, we're continuing in our series, Define Church, and if you've missed anything, go to our website, go to www.corningfbc.com/messages, and you'll have audio of almost all of our messages on there, and then also you go to corningfbc.com/messages/videos, and we'll have a lot of videos out there, not all of them, but most of them. Again, we're live streaming this morning. We're starting a new service. We're using a new platform that should be more easier for us to use and available to more people. It's not going to be just on Facebook. It's actually on the web. It's on livestream.com. So anybody, even if they don't have Facebook, can go and watch that on our live stream, and we'll have links to that from our website as well, and links on Facebook. So somebody goes to Facebook, they can get to it there. So thank you for those who have helped support that ministry and get that up and running. I think it's going to be a big blessing to a lot of people. So Matthew 28, we are in week five it is of our Define Church series. We've looked at several different aspects of what church is and who makes it up and all those things. And today we're looking at discipleship. And I've got a word up here that looks made up, and that's because it is. It's called discipleize. And you'll find a little bit more what that means in just a minute. We're going to start in Matthew 28. Everybody knows, if you've grown up in church, if you spent a lot of time in church, you probably know the Great Commission. You probably had to memorize it for GAs or RAs or Awana or some other thing that you had to do, and you had to go and quote the Great Commission. And if you haven't been, this is a great time to learn about it, because I'm going to try to teach it to you the right way. So hopefully we'll have a better understanding of it when we finish. Then we're going to talk about discipleship. What is it? What does it mean to grow and mature in your knowledge of Jesus Christ? And I'm excited to go there through today. So what is the commission of the Great Commission? We use that title for this passage a lot at the end of Matthew. It's the last thing Jesus says in the book of Matthew, and if you tie it in with the book of Acts, he goes right into this, into his ascension. So it's like one of the last things he says before he leaves earth to go and reign on the throne with God in heaven. So we talk about this Great Commission, but what is the commission? Well, let's read it together, and then we're going to talk it out. So Matthew chapter 28, if I'll get there too, verse 19. He says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So what's the commission? What's the challenge, the charge, the instruction, the imperative part of that sentence? What is it? If you're like me, I grew up hearing it's go. That's the first word he uses. Go, therefore, and make disciples. So you go, and it means you just go. Go to overseas, go to a different part of the country, go to your neighbor, go, 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 go. That's what we've learned. At least that's what I grew up learning. But if you look at the Greek that Jesus used when he spoke here, that's not the command of this sentence. The command, the imperative part of this sentence is make disciples. Now, not to get too technical because I'm not an English major, but Paige can help me out with this, I'm sure. Participles. There are three participles surrounding the imperative in this sentence, and the participles are go, baptize, and teach. So the command, the commission, the instruction that Jesus gives right before he leaves earth is make disciples. So the go, the baptize, and the teach are supporting and modifying that command. So make disciples, here's how to do it. Your job is to make disciples. As a believer, as a Christian, your job is to make disciples. That's one of the last things Jesus told us to do before he left. And here's how you do it. You go to people. You baptize them. And you teach them what Jesus commanded while he was here. That's how. So I want to make sure we understand that correctly, because if we get the idea that all you have to do is go, and then you can go overseas for a week and share the gospel with some people and then come home and now you've done your job for the Great Commission, that's not complete. Or maybe I've invited somebody to church and now they're at church and they heard the gospel from the preacher and so I've done my job for the Great Commission. You haven't yet. Because the commission to make disciples, to teach people, to baptize people, to help them grow and become more like Jesus is not just my job. It's yours. In fact, in the book of Ephesians, Paul says that my job is to help teach you how to better do that. The church, remember the church, the called out group, not the institution, not the leadership, not the building, the church is what Jesus gave this charge to. So we have to make sure we have that definition, that understanding of what our job is right before we really get into this. So what is discipleship then? Go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. What does a growing relationship with Jesus Christ look like? And I want us to look at this because it's not a list of do's and don'ts. I could very easily get up here and say, you know, do your Bible study, do your prayer time, do your quiet time, do your all this, and be sure you give to the church, and be sure you share the gospel with somebody, and be sure you sign up for the service project. And by the way, we've got another block party at the end of the month. Sign up for that. Okay? We need you there. Invite people to Easter. I can tell you to do all these things. Oh, and don't do all these things. Don't go to R-rated movies. Don't smoke. Don't drink. Don't. I can list out all the don'ts that I don't want you to do or whatever. Or that you think you're not supposed to do. But that's not really discipleship. That's not really growing in Christ. That's not what it looks like to follow Jesus. What does Jesus say it means to follow him? Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 23. He was saying to them all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." So there's three essential elements of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and he gives them to us very, very helpfully here. First, deny yourself. So every time you look at what do I want, what's my preference, what it is for me, you're supposed to subjugate that to what do they need, what do they want, what would be helpful for them to grow. More importantly, it's subjugating that to what does Jesus want for me? What does Jesus want me to do? What would Jesus have me do and change and learn about myself to become more like him? So you have to deny yourself. And, you know, it's humility in the way that you're not thinking less of yourself. You're just thinking of yourself less. You ever heard of that? It's the idea that it's not that you have to look down on yourself and you're so horrible and terrible human being, but you just have to understand that God's priority that he has given us as believers is not for ourselves. The priority that God has given the church, the job that God has given the church, is not primarily to just get in our holy huddle and take care of each other and love each other. That is something we're supposed to do. Acts chapter 2 teaches us that. We looked at that last week. One of the things we are supposed to do is to take care of each other and love each other. But primarily, what did Jesus say? Make disciples. And part of that means reaching out. Part of that means taking care of others. That starts with denying ourselves. Second thing he said, take up your cross daily. Now we're 2 weeks from Easter. And as we prepare for Easter, it's helpful to look and see what it means to have been crucified. Because Jesus says, take up your cross daily. If you want to follow Jesus, you have to take up your cross. So what does that mean? I won't get into it too much today because we're going to look at it at Easter, but the cross was a horrific thing. It is probably the cruelest and most awful, terrible thing that any person has ever come up with. In fact, in order to describe the pain that went along with crucifixion, they made up a word. There wasn't one. You ever use the word excruciating? The root of that word is Latin, ex, out of, and crus, cross. So if something's excruciating, they made up that word in the first century Latin to describe the cross. And yet Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you need to take up your cross. And too often we pitch Christianity, and the world at large, and the Christian world at large pitches Christianity as follow Jesus and life will get better. Follow Jesus and all your troubles will go away. Follow Jesus and you know your relationships are going to get fixed, and your money's going to come, and your job's going to get better, and all those things. And you can sit and watch TV preachers all day peddle that. But it's not true. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you have to think less of yourself, deny your desires, your wants, your preferences, and then take up your cross. Which means that as a follower of Jesus Christ, not only are things not going to get better, they very well may get worse. If you read Galatians 5, you see there's this fight in every believer's life between flesh and spirit, and we have to make a choice between pursuing flesh or pursuing spirit. And if you get in the game and start pursuing spirit, the enemy does not like that. And the enemy will attack you. He'll attack your family. He'll attack you. Sometimes your health can be, God will allow things to happen in your life that are difficult and hard and painful, and your marriage may fall apart, and your family may fall apart, and addiction may take over, and all those things might happen after you get saved. The encouraging thing in that is that Satan cannot do more to you than God allows him to. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. Go to the book of Job. Read the first chapter of the book of Job. Satan asks God permission to mess with Job. And then God says, okay, but only this far. The enemy cannot do anything to you that God is not allowing him to do. So know that God is in control of whatever that situation is. But then God, Jesus here tells us that that is part of your growth in him. That is part of your following him, is that you carry a cross. So if you're growing in Christ, know that a heavy weight on your back, a heavy weight on your shoulders, is not necessarily punishment from God. It's something that God is using to help you grow and be more like him. And the third thing he says there is follow him. Follow me. Follow Jesus. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. We'll get there a little bit more at the end. And follow me. Those are the three essential elements of growing as a Christian. And every morning we wake up and say, I can deny myself, be ready to carry my cross, and I'm going to follow Jesus today. And as you do that, you grow. You grow. He expounds a little bit too. If we keep reading verse 24, he says, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will find it. So if you are spending your life trying to make life better, trying to make life great, in the end, you're not going to have life. You'll have missed the point. But if you spend your life losing it for his sake, to put what you want on the back burner for what he wants, to let him control you and to take your life and to rule everything you're doing and going and saying, if you let that happen, then you will save your life. And finally, verse 25, he says, for what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? And what Jesus is talking about, there's a balance of priorities. A balance of priorities. We have to look at gaining earthly wealth and earthly things versus eternity in our soul. Go with me very quickly. Mark your, we don't have a marketplace there. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I feel like I'm flying through this, but there's a lot to talk about on this. So, Philippians chapter 3. Starting in verse 4. I'll give you a minute to get there. Now, I didn't drink coffee until I became a pastor, and now I do. All right, Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. This is Paul writing. He says, I myself might have confidence even in the flesh. He's saying, I would have confidence in me, in earthly things that I can accomplish. Continuing in verse 4, he says, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. I was circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness which is in the law found blameless. So what Paul is doing here, he is writing to the Philippian church saying, look, don't doubt my credentials. If you want a good Jewish man, Paul's the guy. He was a Pharisee, which meant that in order to attain that level, you had to have the entire Old Testament memorized. He knew every word of it, every punctuation mark, everything. He could jump in the book in the middle of the book of Habakkuk and start quoting it for you, or Nahum, or Obadiah, all those that we really spent a lot of time studying out of, the minor prophets. He knew them, backwards and forwards. He, as a Pharisee, when you first meet Paul in the book of Acts, he's attacking the church because he believes the church is an enemy to Israel. It's an enemy to God's plan for Israel. And so he's attacking the church and he's saying, look, if life is about, if success is about keeping the rules and following the law and memorizing the Bible, I'm your guy. But, keep reading, verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish that I might gain Christ. See, Jesus says, what good is it if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Paul says, I gained the whole world. I was there. I had it. He was, if we find out later in Philippians, he was rich. He was famous. People knew who he was. He was respected. If you looked at him from an earthly thing, he was the top guy. He had everything he could ever want. And he says, but all of that was trash compared to knowing Jesus Christ. See, we've made the mistake. I believe a lot of people in the church have made the mistake of thinking that if I can reach the status, if I can memorize these verses, if I can know and get all this information transfer and all these things, and if I can get my behavior to line up with what I think it's supposed to or what some preacher says it's supposed to or whatever, if I can do all those things, then I'm close to God. And Jesus says, that's not it. You want to get close to God? Think less of yourself. Think less of yourself. Focus on Him. And just listen and follow. Read the Bible. It tells us everything we need to know. It does. It's God speaking to us. And get in there and follow Him. So Matthew chapter 4. That's our last place to turn. Matthew chapter 4. And then we'll finish up. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus has started calling his disciples. He started recruiting for his team, basically. He's going around and he's finding people to follow him. And then really, I believe that in this verse, Jesus lays out the entire process of what it means to be a disciple. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It's a simple statement. It's a simple command. He's gone up and asked these men to come and follow him. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So we see here basically the process. If you want to think of a discipleship process of like, how do I get from new believer to mature Christian, this is kind of a good way to think of it. First thing he says is, follow me. So you go back to the Great Commission. He says, go therefore and make disciples. So what's the first step in making a disciple? Getting them saved. Okay, you can't be a disciple unless you're saved. So one of the first things that one of the first steps in your life as a believer was when you got saved. And so we can look here at this as follow me, as Jesus saying, get to know me. Come and know who I am. And if we look at it in the terms of like a tree, think of like a seed getting planted. Jesus uses the parable of the seeds. A seed gets planted, it takes root. And if you think of yourself and your soul as a seed getting planted and taking root, and all of a sudden you start taking in the nutrients of the word. But taking root is getting saved, and then things start to happen. So the first thing is, Jesus says, follow me. It's to know him. Just to know him. The second thing he says, and I will make you. What's that picture for us? That picture is the idea of change. Of change and becoming more like Christ. As that seed takes on the nutrients out of the ground, and as that seed begins to sprout and to grow, what happens? It grows. So the first step of discipleship is to know. The second step of discipleship is to grow. Now, the grow, that's kind of the messy part, though. Several months ago, it's probably a year ago, I had a thing up here, and I drew a circle and pointed out different parts of discipleship, and I'll probably do that again sometime soon. But that part, when you go from being a baby Christian to a mature Christian, that growth process can be kind of difficult. If you think of a toddler, when they're learning how to walk, what happens a lot? They fall down. They mess up. They spill things. They break things. But what do? Do you get your one-year-old who just fell and go, I can't believe you fell. That's ridiculous. How hard is it to walk? Did we do that? No, we pick them up and we say, look, it's okay. We'll try. We'll keep working at it. We'll keep working at it. Now, if they're six and they're still falling down and can't walk, we've got an issue we need to deal with. Okay, there's a medical problem. There's a you're not just teaching them problem. There's something going on. Okay, it's the same thing with discipleship. As we're born and as we grow, that process of getting from point A to point B can be hard and it can be difficult. And that's where it's so important that we who are already growing come alongside them and are able to really pour into them and teach them and say, look, I had that same issue and here's how God helped me. And part of that is carrying that cross that Jesus talks about. There's hurt, and there's pain, and there's messiness involved in helping somebody grow. In fact, John Piper, he said this about disciple about growth and about carrying your cross. He says, when Christ died on the cross for sinners, he not only stood in my place, doing what I never could do, forgiving my sin, but he also showed me what I must do if I would save my life, namely, take up my own cross and join him on the Calvary road to death itself, the death of self. Christ died to save us from hell, but not to save us from the cross. He died so that we could be glorified, but not to keep us from being crucified. If anyone who would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. For the Christian, the cross of Christ is not merely a past place of substitution. It is also a present place of daily execution. That every day, we as believers have to choose to deny ourselves and take the things that would be beneficial for me and helpful for me and be willing to walk away from them. For the benefit of our own growth or the benefit of somebody else's. That's what it means to grow. And if we remember from that wheel, as an infant and a child in discipleship, everything's about me and my needs and my wants and take care of me and love me and be me. But what should start happening as that child becomes a young adult? Should start happening. What about them? We can take care of them. What can I do for life to be for them? And you continue growing, and eventually, ideally, you become somebody who goes and makes more children, a spiritual parent that adopts people in and takes people in. Says, I want to care for you until you can grow and go and have children yourself. That's a disciple. And Jesus doesn't say that go and become disciples who are able to have a great time in church and look good on Sundays. He says, no, grow into people who can go and make more disciples. To spend time with people. And if you notice over the last several months, the time we've spent in the book of Colossians, teaching us how to walk through the Bible and look at it verse by verse and spend time studying it and figuring what God says, that's discipleship. And you, if you're a believer in this room, if God has saved you, you've given your life to Him, you are somebody who can take somebody by your side and say, hey, let's pick a book of the Bible, sit down together, and talk about it. See what He has to teach us. You know what happens if you do that? You disciple them. And then at some point they'll have grown enough, they can go, okay, I'm ready to take somebody alongside of myself and sit down and read a book of the Bible and pray and talk about life. That's what God has called us to do. And finally, the third part, after you know Jesus, after you're growing in Jesus, He says, I will make you fishers of men. That's when you go. That's when you go. I wanted to kind of give you that picture because the picture of the tree and the picture of these words to remember, because it helps us. Sometimes we think of growing as a believer from infant to an adult able to go and make more disciples, and it's a little complicated and convoluted and difficult to understand. But if you can remember these three parts of your growth, that you know Jesus, that you grow in Jesus, and then you go on behalf of Jesus on mission for Him. And that tree, when it grows up, the nutrients that come up through it, what ends up happening? There's leaves. And then what else ends up happening? It casts off its own seeds to go and to plant more trees. And that's what our final thing here, that Jesus said that you will know me, you will follow me, I'm going to change you and make you into something different, and you will be fishers of men. As an overflow of your relationship with Jesus Christ, you will be going, serving, and sharing. So when I ask for volunteers to come to a block party or to come to some other thing, I'm not asking you to put in your duty and put in your you know, I have to do this because Josh needs me to or whatever, and I guess I'll do it, whatever. No, the service should be an overflow of your relationship with God. God has loved me and blessed me so much, I can't wait to serve somebody and tell them about Him too. And that's my hope and my prayer for us as a church, that we'll be a people who are eager to serve and eager to share in our community, because not because we need to and we're supposed to and it's what good Christians do, but it's because we've denied ourselves, we've taken up our cross, and we're following Jesus. So when Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples, to put it in a verb form, He's saying, go discipleize. Get out there and do it. Help people come to know Christ. Grow yourself and help other people grow in Christ. And go on mission for Him, sharing with the world around you. That's discipleship. That's what it looks like. And that's what we are supposed to be doing. So I'd love to just sit down with anybody, anyone. I don't want to kind of just throw that out at you and walk away from it. But if you're somebody, if you feel God's leading you to do that more, to spend time with people, to disciple people, and you're not sure how to get started, come and see me. I'd love to sit and talk to you about it. I'd love to pray with you, even walk with you through this and help disciple you into this. So come and talk to me. I'd love to sit down and have that discussion and pray with you and see what God wants to do through you. We're going to have a song, and as James would come up and praise team, and if you want to go ahead and stand, I want to give everyone an opportunity just to respond this morning. What God's teaching your life. What God's challenging you in, what God is leading you to, whatever it is, with changes you need to make in your own life, changes you need to make in relationships and attitudes and whatever it is. I want us to take a moment this morning and deal with that. That we don't leave today having not done, dealt with God, not done what He's called us to do. Respond to Him this morning. I don't know what He's calling you to, but I ask you just to be faithful to that this morning. Let me pray, and then we'll have our time of invitation. Father, God, I thank You. I thank You for laying it out so clearly for us, for giving us the tools that we need in Your Word to be able to follow You faithfully, to be able to become more like Christ. And Lord, I pray that as we leave this place, that we'll be excited and eager because of what You've done for us, because of the love You've shown us, to go out and show love to others. And God, I ask You to just move this morning. Lord, if there's somebody who's been kind of on the sidelines and not really in the game, not really plugged in, not really part of what they know You want them to do, Lord, just give them the boldness to step out this morning and make that change in their lives. Father, I ask You to just move and to work among Your people, Lord. We want to be used by You, we want to be changed by You, and we want to make a difference in Corning and around the world because of Jesus. It's His name I pray. Amen. Please respond this morning as God leads you.
Are you hurting and broken within? drive the weight of your sin. Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do